Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And yes, it is another Monday.
It is.
I'm sorry to depress you with that information, but it's true.
It's another Monday in January.
But, you know, Monday, January, you're feeling blue, you're feeling down, life's got you sad. We're here for you.
Okay.
We're your therapist.
No.
No, we're not. Okay.
No.
I tried. But anyways, yes, we are here for you nonetheless with another episode of Haunt Weekly. And this week we are discussing maintaining secrecy, which is a topic that's been through the ringer, I'm not going to lie. Now you're going to pretend, and we will talk more about that in a minute. But right. As is custom on this podcast, we will begin with conference reminders.
Yay!
Yay, so Crystal, I believe it is your turn to begin.
All right. This week, January 14th through 17th, we
right
have...
Right here!
Yes. Not in this room, but well, in the city.
Well, if you want to have it in this room, it's a very nice room.
Halloween and Party Expo is going to be at the New Orleans Convention Center. There will be 350 vendors. It requires business verification. You can find out more at HalloweenPartyExpo.com.
Yes, indeed. And like I said, it's a very simple form. Just take a few minutes, fill it out. Basically, if you got a tax identification number, you're okay.
Yeah.
But if that's not your speed, then January 17th through 20th, it's the Corn Party in multiple locations in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Who does not want to go to Hawaii? Seriously. It's for the operators of Corn Mazes. You can learn more at TheMaze, TheMaize.com. Maze like corn. You get it? It's a pun.
I can't wait for that week to be over.
I know you can't.
January 26th through 30th, we have HauntCon in Nashville, Tennessee at the Sheraton Nashville Airport. Tours of Haunted Hell Nashville, Nashville Nightmare, and Slaughterhouse. HauntCon.com for more information there.
Yeah, definitely a great conference. We've been to the last two. Sadly, we cannot make it to this one.
Right.
They moved just a little too far away from us.
Well, and it's a little too early in the year, because usually it's a little bit later.
Yeah.
And with the new job and right after holidays, I don't think I can get away.
Yeah, I mean, your new job is probably the biggest obstacle, to be honest and fair with this. But yeah, I love your job. I'm not complaining.
Oh, so do I.
I love your job, but one of the drawbacks is like school season equals no season.
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, moving on from that. February 18th through 19th, it's Windy City Haunters. It's in Oaklawn, Illinois. That's like right outside. Basically, it's like in a short drive out of Chicago. It's great. It's at Midnight Terror Haunted House, one of the few conferences actually at a haunted attraction. Super duper cool.
I wonder why we don't do that more often.
I don't know either. Maybe because haunted attractions aren't set up for conferences. You kind of need space and rooms and stuff. I don't know.
I think that they have rooms and stuff. Yeah, you might be stuck in the slaughterhouse room, but you know.
I'd love to. I would say this. As a speaker, a regular speaker at conferences, I would love to give my talk about copyright and trademark and haunting in a slaughterhouse. Somebody make this happen. This sounds awesome.
Doesn't it?
But the best part about this conference is that tickets are just $20.
That's probably because the haunted house is putting it on and they didn't have to pay extra for the room.
I can totally find this in my couch, guys.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's awesome. It includes free classes, a mixer both before and after the event. Oh my God. Learn more at WindyCityHaunters.com. Though seriously, look it up on Facebook. That's where the real information is.
Do they have their Facebook on their webpage?
Do not have the answer to that one. Not in notes. N-I-N.
All right. In notes. We should probably look that up.
Good idea.
Okay, so next, March 23rd through 26th, we have Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri at the America Center. early bird discounts are $50 off pretty much up to the day they open.
Yep. Though I have to say, I did just learn they are no longer mailing out passes. If you're ordering a pass now, you will have to pick it up at the door.
All right. So then, they also have new this year is the Escape Room City has known all about escape rooms. Escape rooms are a big thing now.
And they have got 25% of the showroom floor on this.
Yeah. So, you can find out more information about them at the Haashow, HAASHOW.com.
And you see, you're looking forward to the maze being over.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to having to not figure out how to do Haashow.
Anyway. And yes, Windy City Haunters does have their Facebook on their website, so WindyCityHaunters.com.
Go there, but go to the Facebook, right? That's where the real info is.
Exactly.
After that, May 1st through 5th, it's Room Escape Conference and Tour. It's in Niagara Falls, New York, at the Niagara Falls Conference and Event Center. There'll be tours of Five Wits, Escape Games Canada, and Locked Up Escape Games. Now look, you heard me mention the word Canada somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're all Americans in this podcast, and absolutely no foreign people listen to it at all.
Oh my God. We just did an international podcast.
But seriously, if you are a U.S. haunter, you will want a passport for this.
Well, I'm pretty sure if you're not a U.S. haunter, and you're a Canadian haunter, you want one for them, too.
Well, if you're a Canadian haunter, you've already got the passport because the main conference is in the U.S. Boom!
Maybe they just bought tickets for the Room Escape tours in Canada.
Well, then they don't need a passport. What do you want? But if you want to do all the stuff at this conference, you're going to need passports.
You're going to need to go between the two, no matter where you're from.
The conference is the 1st and the 3rd. The tours are the 4th and the 5th. RoomEscapeShow.com. Move it on.
So much for your 3 minutes.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Next, May 12th through the 14th, we have West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon at the Doubletree Hotel. Tour of Hour to Midnight, Room Escape, blah, blah, blah. Labyrinth Room Escape and Escapism Room Escape. Escapism Room Escape.
Yeah, I don't look at
it. Okay. Is that like the web channel, Escapism?
I don't even know.
All right. HauntersConvention.com for more of that.
Then after that, June 8th through 11th, is the Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio at the Greatest Columbus Center. Touring the Scaratorium as well as other tours TBA. Learn more at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
July 29th and 30th, we have Midsummer Scream, Long Beach, California at the Long Beach Convention Center by Creepy LA and Theme Park Adventure. A few details right now, but midsummerscream.org for more info
Now we're getting to the ones where we're a little early, I admit.
Right.
But, you know, give me the info.
Yes.
Then August 4th through 5th, it's Haunt Fair, that's F-A-I-R-E, in Rancancoma, New York. I love that name.
Uh-huh.
I never get tired of saying that one. At the Clarion Hotel, there will be a haunted bus tour on Friday. That's a haunted tour of a bus tour of haunted places. Jesus Christ, I screwed that one up. But it's a bus tour of haunted places.
Yes.
And long story short, you can learn more at haunt-faire.com. That's hauntfaire.com.
And it was too late. August 5th through 6th, Scare LA. Los Angeles. Exact location is unknown, but I'm sure they will posting more information on it.
Oh, yes.
At scarela.com when they have it.
Yes, they will. Previous years, Elvira hosted. Last year, Elvira hosted that event. And there are many, many great photos all over social media of that, so worth keeping an eye on. And our final conference this year, Halloween and Haunt Fest Show, August 25th through 27th. Dallas, Fort Worth at the Mesquite Convention Center and bet tastes yummy. We have no updates right now. We had the whole thing where they had previous year's stuff on their site and we got confused. But, you know, you can get equally confused yourself at HalloweenandHaunt.com.
Yeah, we should really check to see if they've updated.
I did actually. They had not.
Oh, okay, good.
I usually check that one every week because I really want to get that one right next time.
Gotcha.
Every week I'm like, this is my week to get Halloween and Haunt right. And every week I'm not. I'm disappointed, you know?
Darn.
Well, speaking of stuff we have to get right.
Yeah.
We have to make some amends for this episode real fast.
Right.
We have to send our deepest, darkest apologies, because we are haunters.
Yeah.
to Robert Dean. We promised we would mention his site and his new idea for haunters.
Yes.
It is frightjobs.com.
Yes. And basically, if you are looking for a job in the haunted house industry, or you have a job to post in the haunted house industry and are looking for new employees, this is where you can go to do that.
Now, the site's starting off kind of slow, I admit. It's a new site.
Well, it's going to.
Oh, yeah, it's brand new. It's like only a few weeks old.
Yeah, we're just now talking about it.
Yeah, well, the Haunt Weekly bump.
I know, exactly right.
No, kill this idea of the Haunt Weekly bump. Kill this idea of the Haunt Weekly bump. There is no Haunt Weekly bump. Please don't expect a Haunt Weekly bump.
Yeah.
But seriously, it is a very, very cool site where you can post jobs and also look for jobs and post your resume if you are an accomplished haunter wishing to find a new occupation.
Yeah, and it's actually something that I had thought about a lot because... Yeah. I worked for an engineering company that did something very similar, but for nuclear engineers. So,
and if nuclear engineers can do this, so can we.
We certainly can.
Just like running a thorium reactor.
No.
No, okay. Maybe no. I pushed it too far.
A little bit.
But in all seriousness, this is a very cool site. It is at frightjobs.com. Go there. Search for people, post your resume, have a good time, post your stuff. Basically, this is a great thing. What I like best about it is clearly they understand the haunting industry pretty well, because you can look for the job and the location.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and we know a lot of actors, roaming actors, character actors. Mm-hmm. Who live in New Orleans, but go out during Halloween.
Venture forth.
Exactly. Because they like to go to all of the places to work. So this is something to mention to them.
Indeed. It's a very, very cool site. I do hope this idea takes off. I really do want to encourage people to post here and participate in it.
Right.
So, about this week's topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have a moment of levity and a moment of honesty with our listeners here. I almost said readers. our listeners here. This topic is something of a Frankenstein's monster. I will not lie.
Right.
It spawned because we both got peeved, angry, uncomfortable. I'm trying to find the word here.
Found it highly interesting.
Intrigued.
Yes.
Something by
like a bug bite that itches, but you don't know where you got it.
Ooh, I like that. That's really well put, actually. It's really prescient for how I feel. Hold on, let me stroke my imaginary beard here and think about that.
I know, because you shaved it off to wear a mask at Halloween.
And then I forgot to grow it back, okay? Shut up. No one asked you.
Anyway.
But no, it came from a conversation on Facebook that was spawned by the people in McCamey Manor.
Yeah, they posted to Haunter's Toolbox, our friends over there.
Yeah, it's a great group. You should definitely join if you haven't. If you haven't joined, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, but McCamey Manor posted that they were going to be going to Transworld and filming absolutely everything so that people who could not make it would be able to enjoy the entire event.
Now, on one hand, you and I are two people who cannot make it.
Right.
It's in St. Louis. St. Louis is really far away.
Yeah.
It's really expensive for us to get there. Blah, 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 blah.
Timing, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. We got problems. Yeah. Timing is really bad. All that stuff. Yeah, we can't go. So on one hand, I'm excited about that.
Right.
I'm actually a little bit happy about it in a selfish way.
Other than possibly the commentary that's going to be going on.
You know what? I can watch it on mute. It's fine.
That's true.
My computer has a mute button. It's right there. It's the F10 key on my Mac. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. But the point of it is, at the same time, we were a little bit upset, especially since I did this last year, and several people said, we don't want to be filmed.
Well, I don't know that they're the ones that did it.
Well, somebody did it last year.
Somebody did it last year because I saw the films. And, you know, we'll get into some of that later, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but, yeah. We got 40 minutes of this. We're going into it.
Yeah. But, because there are some pros and cons.
Yes.
To having your stuff filmed.
But the thing about it is, though, we saw this and we realized, you know, we need to have a conversation about haunters protecting their work, their proprietary information. And I don't mean that from like a copyright standpoint.
Yeah.
Which is weird for me because I'm the copyright and or trademark guy.
Right.
So it's like usually I'm sitting here like preaching about copyright law and trademark law and stuff.
Right.
But that's not what this is about. This is more of like a privacy standpoint or a trade secret standpoint.
Right.
Even though it's not really trade secret law. It's more like trade secret hypothetically.
Right.
What we're talking about here.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, but when we saw the idea, we thought we were going to talk about haunt conferences and what to do when you go.
Yeah.
And then we kind of realized we're not really qualified.
Well, and ideas for people putting on conferences, people presenting at conferences, and the attendees, because we've done all of those things.
Yes.
We have experience in all of those things, just not in the haunt industry.
Yeah, and that's one of the weird things for me. And this is something for you guys to offer your feedback to us on.
Right.
Please.
We've got show notes on it. If you want to hear that podcast.
If you want to hear us talk about conferences, and then, like I said, I have spoken at 2 dozen, 3 dozen conferences.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I've organized statewide ones.
You would absolutely be crazy how many conferences I've spoken at.
Because right.
I've been doing this for 12 years now.
Yeah.
Long story short, but I would love to talk, and you actually have some really good notes on this, about conferences in general and what makes a good conference and how to be a good conference goer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was great stuff. I will stand up here and admit, I did not feel in the moment that was haunted attraction oriented enough for this podcast.
Yeah.
So I felt the need to shift this. But if this is something you guys want, let us know.
Yeah.
Tweet us at Haunt Weekly. Send us messages on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. Send us, you know, emails for our website. Let us know.
Yep. Because do you want to hear about our fundamentals?
Of conferences. Yes, exactly. If you want us to drop back 10 and punt and talk about conferences and some, please, we are more than willing to do it.
Yep.
I've got dozens of conferences I've spoken at. You have organized conferences. We can talk conferences, we just can't talk haunt conferences. Because, you know, at the end
we've
of the day,
we've only been to one.
We're broke and jobs. And the stuff we talked about previously gets in the way with us going to a lot of the conferences. That's why we promote them so heavily. It's because we want you to go and we live vicariously through you, dear listener.
Yes. Or apparently now McCabe and Manor.
Oh, well, yeah. But yeah, so seriously, Haunt Weekly, Twitter and Facebook, let us know if that's something that intrigues you.
Yep.
But this week, though, we decided to kind of wrap the topic up and talk about how to protect your stuff.
Yep.
And I say stuff very deliberately because it's not necessarily copyright, it's not necessarily trademark, it's not necessarily patent or trade secret. It's just your stuff. It's the stuff in your haunt, even if it's not protectable through an intellectual property regime.
Yeah.
And see, the reason you want to do this, for the record, is that haunted attractions depend upon surprises for scares.
Definitely.
This is the core of who we are. Surprise, being able to defy expectations. It's what we do.
Right.
That is our industry in a nutshell.
Yeah. So if someone, for say, goes through and does a complete walkthrough video and shows where all of the scares are and posts that the day after you open.
Yeah. There could be an issue there.
There could be, because nobody's going to be surprised.
Yes. And see, the thing about it is this. All that effort you take in placing your scares, positioning this so people can't see them coming.
Right.
All that stuff, it can be ruined in a heartbeat if someone goes forth and just leaks all that information online.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have to protect our stuff. We have to protect our haunts.
Mm-hmm.
God, and that's just it. Like I said, if people know what you have inside your haunt, your ability to scare people is very, very limited.
Right.
You're going to have to make changes. You're going to have to recalibrate your haunt in order to accommodate what people already know.
Yeah.
And that can be tough on the fly. Like you said, your scenario is actually really prescient. If someone comes through opening night, mm-hmm. videotapes a walkthrough of the haunt with like a GoPro attached to their forehead or something.
The little Google Glass. Exactly. The glass eyes.
Some glasshole comes through your haunt.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to recalibrate, and your ability to do that is limited because you don't have time to rebuild, you don't have time to reconstruct.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, if you have to rebuild, then you have to recertify.
Yeah.
You have to get your permits.
Yeah, exactly. You can't. Literally cannot do it in time.
Right.
There's also a competitive advantage element to this.
Right.
Now, we are an incestuous industry, if nothing else, and that we visit each other's haunts, we see what everyone else is doing, we adopt ideas, and we take and we expand upon and make our own.
Right.
That happens, and that is good and beautiful and wonderful and amazing.
Yeah, and that happens in a lot of industries.
But, you know, it's
ours a good, more than most.
Ours more than most, and ours is also a very creative industry in that regard. It's an artistic industry, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that it is more likely to happen.
Yeah.
In cross-pollination in artistic industries.
Yeah. And we are a very, 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 very artistic industry, if nothing else. So the result of that is, yes, we do that, but still, there are some things that are wholly yours.
Right.
Some themes, some ideas, some, you know, some topics.
Some, you know, scare that nobody else has.
Exactly. There are things that are yours. You've got to protect those, because those differentiate you from the haunt across town or the haunt across the street or whatever.
Yep.
So, yeah, you have to think about those things. And basically what it comes down to is this. You don't want images and videos of your secret stuff on the internet.
Right.
You really don't. I mean, images are bad.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. And images are also annoying. I mean, people taking selfies while they're going through your haunt is pretty terrible. But videos are the real enemy here, if we're going to be honest.
Right.
Because that's what gives away the scares. That's what gives away the vibe. That's what gives away your haunt.
Yeah. And you're not letting people come for free, assumedly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is if someone takes that video and posts it to YouTube, other people are able to, quote-unquote, visit your haunt for free.
Yep.
Just like we can visit Transworld for free through this apparent video McCamey Manor is making.
Yeah, I mean, we have no reason to go to the conference other than networking.
Other than networking and maybe to buy the stuff, but if we see vendors we like, we can buy it.
Well, and that's just it, is when I looked up videos last year,
mm-hmm.
I saw vendors' names that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
So I Googled them, found their website, and found how much their stuff was and how to get it delivered. And
I think we actually bought some of it, too.
I'm not sure on that. The stuff that I was looking at was pretty pricey. So.
Well, you do have expensive taste. That's why you're with me.
Yeah, I like the big animatronics.
Blah, blah, blah. But yes, point remains. But there's also an issue of privacy for your customers, too.
Right.
There's something else to think about. Okay, and here's the thing. There's no shame going to a haunted attraction. I don't think that should be a shameful thing at all.
No.
But some people get very embarrassed by their reactions.
Right.
And
seeing their reactions.
Yes. I mean, okay, good example from our haunt this year.
Yeah.
We scared a guy who literally went full-on river dance.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah, he danced through the whole thing.
It's
a video.
I mean, look, fight or flight or river dance. Those are like the three alternatives I have learned for fear reactions this year. I had no idea river dance was the third option, did you?
Not quite, no.
Not quite to this extent, certainly.
Yeah,
it was very interesting. Very.
Not to this extent. Last year, running in the air was popular.
But this year was river dance. Who knew? But I can imagine, you know, that if his friends took that video and posted it to Facebook where it could be connected with him personally,
mm-hmm.
it might also be embarrassing to him.
Right.
Now, we can do it because we have the signs up everywhere saying that we're going to do it.
Right.
And we're getting into that in just a moment.
Yep.
But also, we're not, like, tagging anyone.
No.
We're not out to embarrass anyone.
No, we
hopefully
don't.
No one will be identified through these videos.
Yeah, I don't think that they will be.
Yeah, and the videos that we have, while clear enough to see the scares, are not clear enough necessarily to identify individuals.
Right.
So that also helps us out a little bit.
Yep.
But the main thing is you want people comfortable coming to your haunt. Right. And if they're worried about privacy, if they're worried that their embarrassing moment might get blasted all over YouTube by their wayward friends, it kind of hinders that a little bit.
It does.
So protecting your stuff, it definitely, in my book, starts at home.
Yeah.
As an owner, you own the property or you rent the property, therefore you control it. You have the right to limit photography and videography on your property.
Yes. It is private property.
And that is very, very important to remember. A lot of people seem to forget this for some reason.
Right.
So the first thing you need to do, make a rule banning photography and videography if you don't wish to allow it.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things you found was that a lot of places ban flash photography.
But not photography.
But not photography.
Yeah.
So, I am tempted, like really tempted, not to take my good camera, but take some little throwaways, find some.
Yeah.
And take them to haunted houses, not use the flash, and see if how long it is before they mention it to me.
Yeah.
Because if it's not in their rules. Because I do follow by the rules.
You take a camera with a low enough f-stop.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a photographer, so I'm speaking your lingo here, right?
Yeah, no,
Take a camera with a low enough f-stop. Flash is kind of a moot point.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to any event, conference, or haunted house, or otherwise, I look up what the photography rules are.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I do.
And you do, actually. You're very, very good about it.
Yeah.
And it's... still hasn't necessarily kept you out of trouble, but it's because some events do not follow their own rules.
Right.
And I can't help you with that one.
Right, and that's actually caused me to be overly cautious and go, if you don't post your rules, then I'm not bringing a camera.
Yeah.
That includes conferences.
But most people take a very different approach to that, where if you don't post the rules, there are no rules.
Yeah.
You're kind of alone on that one.
I know, but that's... you know.
Yeah, that's you. I get it.
Yes.
But still, the point remains that that's not how most people view it.
Yeah.
But seriously, take a moment, think about what you want your rule on photography and videography to be, and put it on the damn sign or the damn ticket.
Please.
And put it on the damned website, too, if we're going to be honest with you.
Yeah. Basically, anywhere that you have your rules, put it there.
And by the way, one of the topics we are looking at for future episodes is a statistical breakdown of haunted attraction rules.
Yeah.
Because one of the rabbit holes I went down while researching this episode was looking at haunted attraction rules, and I learned that there's not a lot of consistency. I always thought they were very consistent and that I could, like, ramble off the rules of every haunted attraction willy-nilly and just, like, put my hand on the Bible and do it. And, like,
right.
Apparently I can't. That was really an interesting part of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to have to bring that one back.
Yeah.
But seriously, put it somewhere where people can see. So that way they know what the rules are. And basically that you will not have any issues when you have to actually enforce said rules.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very important to let everybody know up front what you expect of them, what they can expect as a customer.
Yes, exactly.
And how to go through. Okay, and make sure that people also know that it's not just a safety issue. It's not just about, and this is your staff as well as your customers, it's not just a safety issue about having blinding flashing lights going off.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to give away your secrets. I mean, that's just it. You don't.
Yeah, that's one of the... Okay, and that's where I think the flash photography thing comes from, is a lot of people structure their haunted attraction rules around the idea that these are the safety rules.
Right.
They can't be just your safety rules. They have to encompass everything.
Yeah.
So be thinking about your secrecy. Be thinking about your privacy, the privacy of your customers and everything else. Consider all those issues.
Right. You may also consider outright banning cell phone usage.
And I think that's actually not a bad idea, frankly.
Yeah. Don't confiscate them.
Yeah, okay. Don't be one of those asshole haunts that says you can't even bring a phone in here.
Yeah.
Because that just...
That is putting... that. Okay, so if you take somebody's $600 phone and it something accidentally happens to it, you're liable for that phone.
Yes.
And there are some people whose jobs will not allow them to leave their phone with
you.
Yes,
and we know one of them very closely.
Yes. Yeah. And they are pretty much on call all the time. Those people do go to haunted houses.
Yes.
But if they get a page or a call, they will probably look for a security guard to let them out early.
Yeah.
Because they have to deal with work.
Yeah. And Ellie's common comment whenever she hears someone saying, we need to put your phone in your car, she always responds with, well, do you want your credit card transactions to go through?
Yeah.
Because that's her job. She processes bank and credit card transactions.
Right.
And that is a 24/7, always-on-call job. And she's not alone. She's not even that unusual anymore.
No.
I mean, maybe my phone can be confiscated for 15 minutes. You know, there are other people who probably are the same. Well, most people are probably the same way. But there are some people who literally, through contract, their job cannot be parted from it.
Right.
And especially people, by the way, who receive their phone from their company.
Yeah.
They signed agreements to not hand that damn thing over.
Right,
so
exactly.
So be very mindful of that.
Yep.
But, you know, what you can do, instead of confiscating phones, just say, look, don't bring them out.
Yep.
Keep them in your pocket. Keep them stowed away. Never have them leave your pocket. You're okay.
Yep. If we see it out, we will have to escort you out of the haunted house without you seeing the whole thing.
Yeah. And we know, and that comes later up. But yeah, basically saying, look, can't take it out. You can have it. And if there's an emergency, you can deal with and have security escort you out.
Right.
But long story short is, no, you cannot bring it out just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Which is one of the problems we have. And that really leads to the next problem, which is enforcing the rule.
Right.
And I've seen this many, many, many times going through haunts, where the haunt rules will say, no videotaping or photography allowed, blah, 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 strong rules, we'll escort you out. And then it happens inside the haunt in full view of security, and what happens? Nothing.
Yeah.
Not a goddamn thing.
Nope.
If you're going to have the rule, and this is true for any rule in my opinion, but especially this rule, if you're going to have it, well, any rule, if you're going to have it on your sign and on your ticket and everyone agrees to it, it has to be enforced. Putting a rule out there and not enforcing it makes it meaningless. And I remember once we went to a club that had a no cell phone rule. And then someone lost their sunglasses or their contacts or something in the dark club, and next thing you know, 10 cell phones are out looking for it. It's like, why even have the no cell phone rule?
Yeah.
There's no enforcement of it.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the blackout maze when somebody turned on the flashlight on their phone.
Yeah.
I rounded a corner right into a bright light and headbutted
and
you.
And this is how I got a bloody nose.
Exactly.
This is actually a true story.
Yeah.
I actually bled a little. It was kind of, it was kind of sad, actually. Yeah. I have to go the rest of my life admitting that I bled because of the back of Crystal's head.
Yeah, well.
It is a hard head, though. You have to admit that.
Yeah.
But part of this means you have to be willing to throw out the violators.
Yeah.
Also, you may want to consider solutions such as Pirate Eye. I love the name Pirate Eye. I just want to say that right off the bat. But basically, it's a service that detects when cell phones or videotaping has been used. So basically what it is, it's a camera software that looks for the infrared signature of a camera in use, detects it, and alerts people around it.
Yeah.
Now, it's probably too expensive and not really worthwhile for haunts, but still interesting technology and something that may become more affordable and more approachable for haunters later.
Right.
And you know it's probably too expensive because it started out as a tool to detect camming in movie theaters, and was employed by the MPAA and others to stop release piracy.
Yep.
So, something to think about. Probably not practical right now, but hey, Pirate Eye, it's there. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
That being said, do please provide an area where photography and video is encouraged.
Yes.
This is a good thing. A selfie booth that is clearly delineated as a selfie booth.
Yes.
This is something we ran into at One Haunt. Big right. signs all over the shop saying no photography, no videography. Right. We're going through the queue, no photography, no videography, all over the place. Then we walk into this weird little shack.
Yeah.
No actors.
Mm-hmm.
No staff.
Yeah.
Nothing. And it's clearly set up for you to do video or photography.
Right.
So we're doing the garbage horror stuff at this time.
Right.
And we're like, okay, let's just whip out the phone and quickly do a little preview type thing.
Yeah.
And we do it. And then we go and we talk to the owners later, as we usually do. And we're like, we're sorry, we shot a very short video, like 20 seconds long, in that little shack in the queue.
Right.
I hope it's not a problem. And I'm like, oh, that's the selfie shack. You're supposed to do that. Please do it. Post it. Then put signs saying it.
Yeah. Say that you can use cameras here.
Take a selfie. Put it on Instagram and stuff. God.
Yeah.
We thought we were breaking the rules.
Yeah, I was really worried about it. You talked me into doing it.
I had that power somehow. Yeah,
you talked me into going ahead and recording and asking later, which worked to our advantage.
Remarkably
this time.
Well this time.
Yes, but
the risk was worth it.
It
this
was.
Time. I'm a little Star Trek Voyager for you.
All right, seven. You're not a seven.
I'm not nearly as cute as seven of nine.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely put that there, and definitely in your selfie shacks, put where people can tag you.
Yeah. Instagrams, Twitters, Facebooks, all that stuff. Put it in there like we do.
Because that's free promotion.
We're on Haunt Weekly at Twitter and Facebook. Ding. Promotion done. But main idea here is to control what is seen while encouraging sharing.
Yeah.
We are in a social media economy. You have to encourage sharing, but you can also, through your signage, encourage what is seen.
Right.
And that is good. And one really great example I did see of this is a recent escape room we did.
Yeah.
Where they took us and they took a photo of us with a We Escape sign and we're in little frames. It's a cute photo. And it's like, here's your photo. Go share it on Facebook. Please don't take photos of the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very well done. And we respected the rules. We didn't take a single photo in the room.
Right.
Three out of the four of us left our phones in bags. One of us was in the restroom when the instruction was giving. I'm not naming Crystal by name.
Yeah.
But the long short of it is, you know, we all respected the rules of no photography. And we still got a really great way to share the experience. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Now, in addition to thinking about your customers, also consider your actors and crew.
Yeah.
This is a little touchier, but this is something I see a lot on Facebook amongst my friends.
Right.
Because we have haunty friends.
Really? You don't say.
You don't say. I know. It's a shocker. Shocker, I say.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, do set policies for what your actors and crew can post to social media. Definitely encourage them to post.
Right.
But set reasonable restrictions on what they can and should post. Photos of an individual prop out of context or even a scene
is
probably not a big deal.
Yeah.
Or even a selfie of them and their makeup may not be a big deal. But videos, especially showing the scares and showing how the room works, is a much, much bigger deal.
Yeah.
So I guess rule one, limit it to photos.
Yeah.
But also probably try to not show too much in one image. And you know, basically, one of our haunt friends posted like 140-odd photos from our local attraction, and we saw nearly the entire attraction that year before it opened.
Yeah.
Which, while I'm not complaining, because they were really great photos, and I'm a haunter, and I got to really admire and study them, it made the haunt a little more predictable.
Right, and it was photos of the build.
Yes.
It was things that they were working on at the time before season, you know, to get it ready.
Yeah.
Which was really cool to watch.
Yeah.
But also, we kind of knew where some of the stuff was because of that.
Yeah, we're going through the home, like, oh, that's where that landed.
So-and-so built that.
I know who built that. Yeah, dang, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, post some reasonable restrictions there. Yeah, and once again, it comes down to enforcement. You're going to have to bar the repeat infringers. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've talked about dealing with it within your domain.
Right.
The whole, like, genesis of this conversation was on the road.
Right.
And things get a lot more complicated when you leave your property.
Right.
And so this goes back to that McCamey Manor thing of we're going to videotape all the vendors at Trans World and share them and all that.
Right.
And previously, as you noted, there were vendors that said, no photography or videotaping, please. No.
Right. Well, and when we went to HauntCon, there were signs at specific booths.
Yeah. But McCamey Manor specifically promised
they
would videotape even those who asked not to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Ethics, guys.
Yeah. law and ethics. This is not necessarily law, but it's definitely ethics.
Yeah.
But yeah, so...
Consent matters!
It does. But here's the thing. When you are showcasing at a conference, if you're showcasing at a conference, the conference is in control of everything.
Right.
The conference determines the rules, and it determines the enforcement.
Yeah.
And that is a problem.
It is.
So
if you don't like the rules, talk to the conference.
Yeah. Basically,
organizers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, unless the conference has no photos or videos, it's a public place.
Yep.
And people can take photos. Now, you can control your own booth. Like, you know, the actual 10x10 is usually 10x10.
Yeah.
10x10 square of ground. But the walking path between them and everything else and the other booths, you have no control over. And if I can stand on the walking path and videotape the entirety of your booth, unless the conference says no, I can do it.
I soon see a new business model. Modesty panels for booths.
But that's the problem. You're going to the conference for visibility. Modesty. Oh.
Well, you know what? If you made walls, you know, you get a PVC frame, you put fabric on it, you make it look like you're walking into a mini haunted attraction, it could be pretty freaking cool.
You could
not see it from the walkway.
That's all I'm saying. But it also would reduce the number of people who went into your booth.
I don't know about that.
I think it would. But still, you know, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy. And, you know, if you say no photos or no photography or whatever on your little table, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because basically, the trade show floor, the parts not controlled by individual vendors, are like a public sidewalk.
Yep.
And your booth is like a storefront. I can videotape into a storefront legally as long as I'm on public property. Anything I can see from public property, I can videotape, I can record, it's considered public.
You can photograph.
Yeah.
There was an artist who was actually gone up against that because he was photographing people in their homes through open windows.
Yeah. And he was found to be A-okay.
Yeah.
So, think about that.
Yeah.
If you can be in the quote-unquote privacy of your home, close your blinds, people, seriously.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Right.
But if you can be in the privacy of your own home and still be legally photographed.
Yeah.
What of your vendor booth?
Yeah, he was just doing nothing naughty, just like, you know, families eating dinner or watching TV or whatever.
It was actually quite boring, honestly. I've seen the photo. I know what you're talking about. I've seen the photos. It was boring.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There's no we in this. Crystal, looked up a whole bunch of conferences on this.
Yeah.
And what did you find?
I found that nobody said anything about a photography or videotaping rule except Trans World.
On their site.
Huh?
On their site. We do not know what they say in person.
Right. Except Trans World.
And what does Trans World say?
Trans World said, please come photograph and videotape everything and put it on our Instagram. So that we can share it to everybody.
Yep. So there you go. Don't bring anything you want to keep private to a conference show floor. I mean, even if it's a industry conference, don't do it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things. Like these industry conferences, people feel, I don't know, safer, more secure, more private because they're among their fellow haunters.
Yeah.
But you're not.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, you're not. And like I said, looking at the signs at HauntCon, the no photography, no video signs at HauntCon,
right,
people clearly thought that they were more protected there at HauntCon, but they weren't.
Right.
But anyways, I mean, what it comes down to at the end of the day is realize what you can and cannot control.
Yeah.
You can control videotaping photography on your property.
Right.
What you rent, what you control, you can definitely set the rules for.
Right. Well, you won't.
Post those rules, post them on the tickets, post them on the sign, and enforce them.
Yeah. Make sure they're part of your FAQs, too.
Yeah.
Not just part of the rules, but part of the FAQs on your site.
Yeah, that is one of the interesting things I've noticed. The longer we've done this podcast, the more I've noticed that haunts tend to be very skimpy with the information they give out.
Well, it's not just haunts. It's conferences, too.
Fair enough.
There was one conference that their FAQs was one question.
Well, then it's not really an FAQs, is it?
Exactly.
The S has to be stricken.
I know.
Right?
They said, email us for any others, but... But yeah, it was
that
one question.
That doesn't count as a question.
I know.
That is not a question.
I know. I'm sorry, guys, if you're listening and you know who you are.
No, don't be sorry. Fix your FAQs.
Either FAQ or question or put another one.
Seriously, come up with... There's got to be more commonly asked questions than just one.
Yeah.
What was the one question, may I ask?
Is it family friendly?
Oh, Christ. That was the FAQ?
Yeah, kinda was the answer.
Oh, Christ. And kinda, literally, one word kinda was the answer?
No, it went into how they have, you know, stuff from haunted houses, gory characters.
I was about to say, that'd be flipping hilarious. FAQs, as a family friend, kinda done, boom!
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah.
But seriously, make your signage clear, make your website clear, and instruct your security to take action. Speak with your actors and always, always encourage good sharing of your content.
Right.
Don't, you know, all this obsession about protecting yourself, it's easy to forget that we are in a social media and a sharing economy.
Yeah.
Find places where it is acceptable and even encouraged.
Yeah.
I mean, like Rise here locally has that little den area where you can take it.
Right.
House of Shock has the actual House of Shock logo and a little photo booth area there.
Right. That's outside near the bar. So you'll usually get a character or two joining you for your photo.
And that's something that we also saw at the Darkness. They had an area there outside where the characters would be very aggressive about joining you.
That was fun.
It's a recurring theme, but seriously, have an area where it is acceptable and encouraged. Make it clear that it is, but make it clear that it's not encouraged inside the haunt. Delineate this. And here's the thing to think about. It's 2017.
Yeah.
We all have really, really high-end cameras, video and photography cameras in our pockets at all times.
Yeah.
Taking pictures, taking videos is part of daily life now.
Right.
Used not to be that way.
Yeah.
It is now. So you have to prepare your customers for that and set the rules up accordingly.
Right.
Old-timers like me don't necessarily think that way.
Right.
But we have to.
Yeah, the other thing is if you can't get something out front of house for people to take photos, think about putting it at the end after they've gone through and they're
the
all happy.
Does.
Yeah, they're all happy and everything, and that's a good place to put it too.
Yeah.
And like a lot of escape rooms do.
Yeah.
I would build something like the picture frame wall. That was a cool idea.
It actually really was a cool idea. And I did like the fact that it indicated whether you escaped or were, quote-unquote, so close. Though I suspect from looking at some of these photos on their Facebook, a lot of them weren't close at all.
Oh, Jonathan.
But anyways, the point remains, yeah, encourage good sharing of your content. And also do understand that you cannot control off your property.
Right. Yeah, if somebody wants to stand on the sidewalk or the road and videotape your characters outside and your haunted house from outside.
Not much you can do.
No, even when they even if you open the doors and are able to see inside, they can do that.
Which is one of the reasons why you should not have a scene like right in the first room.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's a bad idea from like haunt design, anywho.
Right.
Unless you're like incredibly cramped on space, but still, seriously, it's another good reason to throw into that.
Right.
Long and short of it is, be mindful of what the limitations of your control are and enforce the control. And enforcing the control first means making the rules clear.
Right.
And then actually acting on them.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, the whole McKamey Manor thing, I want to talk about that. We have a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Not many. Literally a couple of minutes. But yeah. Seriously, that did rub me the wrong way, the attitude of it.
Yeah, well, the brash attitude rubs a lot of people the wrong way. I think that that's a lot of, not just the extreme haunt nature, but the attitude that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's weird to me because McKamey Manor on their Facebook and their interviews and elsewhere, they always talk about how the haunt industry doesn't like them and they always wish that weren't the case. And then they do stuff like this, which is by design very combative to the haunt industry.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, guys, if you want to be members of the haunt industry, there are ways you can do it and there are ways you can't.
Right.
And going in there and defying the wishes of vendors is not one way. There's a difference between law and ethics here.
Yeah.
And while maybe the vendors can't legally stop you.
Yeah.
You know, there's being right and there's being nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you want us to be your friends, then play friendly.
Yeah.
Play nice. Because we are the haunt industry.
And we are a friendly industry.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
And there's not been many places I felt more accepted in the haunt industry.
Right. Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean, it's like, if you can't get accepted here, maybe there's something wrong with you.
Maybe.
Just throwing that one out. Just throwing that one out. We're really a very tolerant industry.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part, yes. But that's about all I have on that one. And we are truly out of time now.
Mm-hmm.
But any final thoughts? Anything else you want to throw out to our nice haunt listeners?
I just wanted to remind people again to go and check out FrightJobs.com.
Yes.
Thank you, Robert Dean, for writing us. Sorry it took so long to get to you.
Yeah, we are a bit not on top of things this time of year. That's not entirely our fault, but not entirely not our fault either.
Yeah, it's pretty much our fault.
It's pretty much our fault.
Yeah.
But anyways, we apologize. Hope Fright Jobs is successful. Be watching out. And definitely post your jobs, post your resume.
Yep.
Godspeed, have fun with it.
Yep.
But on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, episode number 58, talking about protecting your secrets. We will see you guys next time. Until then, follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly and Facebook at Haunt Weekly. We will see you next time.
Shh.
Shh. Shh.